You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Today's top story is brought to you by the financing company Genfin. So the South African Reserve Bank gave us an update saying that they would lose nearly a billion rand on their stake in African Bank. For those that don't quite remember, I'll do a quick backstory. The African Bank stable went through some really difficult times, went into business rescue. Then there was a little agreement that was set up where the South African Reserve Bank would take a 50% equity stake in this new reformed African Bank. The other 50% would be split amongst the commercial banks in South Africa. And that would lead to a new entity rising from the ashes, seemingly like a phoenix. This would then culminate in a new board being put in place, a new structure being put in place, with the agreement that at some point down the line, the South African Reserve Bank would unbundle their 50% stake, they'd sell that off, that would go into the market, you and I as investors would have access to that, and the business would be a new business, having reformed through all of these challenges. Now, the bank still hasn't listed, it's set to list next year, and as we stand at the moment, things don't look so great following this impairment. But thankfully, we've got one of the best banking specialists that I know, certainly. Joining me to discuss this is Kokkie Kooiman, director at Denker Capital. Good evening, Kokkie. Lovely to speak to you again. This write down, does it surprise you?
No. Look, I don't actively follow the valuation that the Saab and the other banks have put on the African Bank holdings, because it's small in the total book. But African Bank, after it was rescued, and as you so well described, into the good and the bad bank, and resuscitated, new board, new procedures, new everything, started the process of diversifying its profit profile, but at the same time, unfortunately, still lent, I think, too aggressively into the lower end of the market. And obviously, post-COVID, suddenly globally interest rates started shooting up high sharply, and that's led to a significant increase in bad debts. That's already been reported in the previous set of bad debt results, and they provided for that. But the outlook until recently, until before the election, was still actually quite poor. And I think correctly, the Saab decided to, with the potential of the valuation of that they have on African Bank having to be reduced because of the higher bad debts, they wrote off, they reduced the value of the stake. Now, obviously now suddenly afterwards, a lot of things have happened. We've got a new GNU government, as you so well discussed now with David Shapiro, foreigners are looking back at our market. The rand is appreciating. So all of that could change. Interest rates could come down. And by the time African Bank lists next year, if it does, the valuation could well be higher. But initially, I think Saab did the right thing by just first saying, got to reflect what's currently happening in the economy. And that was at that stage, and let's reduce the valuation.
Kokkie, when we look at some recent announcements, there have been some projections from S&P Global around the banking space to say that the banking space is going to lose north of 70 billion rand, or north of, I think it's north of 70 billion rand, 74 billion rand or so. Do you think this would have had a bearing on how the Saab would have looked at their stake to say, combined with what we know about African Bank's current performance, this is probably the most prudent accounting adjustment we can make?
Absolutely. I think they would have looked at that. Obviously, the Saab gets its own numbers, and it's most probably more accurate the numbers it gets than Moody's maybe gets.
As a shareholder.
Both as a shareholder as a reserve bank, you know, seeing all the data and its economic unit. But, I mean, there's no doubt the South African consumer was under enormous pressure and still is under enormous pressure. And a lot of the consumer conferences I've been attending as well as highlighted how there's a large part of the consumers that still have a lot of debt, and that's going to take a long time to actually work away as long as interest rates stay high. So I think almost the most important thing that needs to happen now is inflation to come down as it slowly eases, the rand to appreciate, that allow us to bring inflation down further, and then interest rates reduce, and that will start giving consumer more breathing space. But I think Moody's very clearly highlighted the stress that a large part of the South African consumer is still under, and that's reflected in the African Bank collections as well, and the provisions they had to make.
Corky, when we look at the bank, does the bank have enough in it when we look at the balance sheet and the performance? I mean, they reported interim profits a little while ago, just north of 200 million rand. Does the bank have enough for that 2025 IPO? Because that is a big thing they've been working towards. And the last time I spoke to the bank, they said, look, we're on track for that. That's still part of the plan. It does look like this is still something that needs to happen or something that will happen. Does the bank have enough to stand on its own and go ahead with an IPO as it currently is?
Yeah. I actually attended a lunch with the management team fairly recently, and I must say, they're hard at work, and they've got seasoned management. They've been around the block, who've got experience. And so they are working hard at diversifying the income stream, the Kroonrad Bank acquisition and the Sasfin, property portfolios and so that they've been buying. Because you'll recall, there were a few mistakes made with the old African Bank, but the key one as well, it just had one source of income, and that was the low end of the consumer. And so they're broadening that base, but key obviously is, systems, and systems cost money, and they're working on that. I think the bank enough is being diversified enough, but key will be to improve the return on capital, which at the moment is still fairly low. And it's a low return on capital. A bank cannot sustain its own lending growth. So, and that's why I think it's wise to postpone it 2025, even another year, if necessary, to really make sure that the profitability increases. And there's always a risk. If you're trying to increase profitability, how do you do that? At the moment, they can't cut costs because they're still growing. So you've got to grow your loan book. But as soon as you grow your loan book, you need a higher return on capital to finance that. And so the guys have got a hard year ahead of them. But I was impressed with what they've done so far, but there's a lot of hard work ahead.
Speaking of the hard work ahead, what does that then mean for investors? When we look at, obviously, when the IPO is announced or when the IPO does take place and the shares do hit the market, is this something where, as retail investors, as normal citizens, where we should be saying it's a good opportunity to get into a bank where we know the strength of our banking system in South Africa? Would this still be a good opportunity to buy into or to invest into?
Now, that's a good question, because the South African banking system is very competitive, and we've got high quality banks. And also a lot of the new banks. I mean, just thinking of Time Bank, we're thinking of Bank Zero being slightly different, more on the commercial side, SME side. But there are a lot of new banks and all competing in the same space. So the key will be that the economy grows. The second thing will then be the valuation. Now, if they haven't gotten that good ROE and a good outlook yet, then the valuation will be not very attractive, but then investors will have to make a decision on the next 3 years. It's always investments, you always look forward. So, the key will be, what do we expect the South African growth rate to be when it lists in 2025? But I wouldn't expect it to have a very high valuation. And the negative for it there is, at the moment, you've got Nedbank and Absa still trading at very low valuations as well. So I think the key will be first just to get it listed, regardless of valuation, and then let investors decide as to what price they pay.
Do you think that the write down now, I mean, you obviously mentioned a little earlier that this economic situation and all the impairments that are currently going through could look very different by the time we get to IPO and listing. Do you think this write down will have a material impact on the other shareholders at present? I mean, the other commercial banks currently have the other 50% of African Bank. Do you think they would have to see similar impairments on their books?
Yeah, I think that they would. But again, remember, it's a very small part of the total assets. So ordinary investors in those banks and the PIC as well won't see it. But I think they'll mostly follow the same process. They can't ignore what the Saab has done and doing. And I'm sure they will reevaluate the valuation they have at the moment as well.
Well, certainly interesting times. We'll look forward to seeing how this pans out. I'm sure we'll have a conversation with Kennedy Bungane and his team at African Bank around these developments when we can. But for now, thank you so much, Corky, for the insights. As always, Corky Koyman, Director at Denker Capital, on the impairment that the South African Reserve Bank did to their African Bank stake. This top story was brought to you by Genfin, proud to support South African enterprises for sustainable success.
When your business needs finance to get things done, who do you turn to? At Genfin, we realize that you need to stay focused on running your business. So let us do the work and get your business loan approved in 24 hours. For loans up to 5 million rand, from as little as 10% for 3 months, apply online at genfin.co.za. Genfin, we get it done.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.